What's up, everybody? Welcome to We Have Cool Friends, the cool show. We interview our cool friends about the cool things they're doing. I'm Greg, and this is my cool friend, Dave Krause. Hello, Dave.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Now, Dave, of course you're here. You're representing StackUp.org. You're the Director of Veteran Services. We're going to talk about all of that. But before we go one step further, your hair is magnificent, sir.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, don't bury the lead here, right? I've been working on the quarantine flow.
Whenever I think of you and I picture you, I think of us hanging out at a PAX or when you came on and did the shows with us in the studio and like that shaved head look you always have. You have that military look, and now you are the spitting image of Big Boss, and I am here for it, sir.
That is the objective.
I got the old arm back here, man. The official.
The
Big Boss 3000 right here.
You're all set for it, man.
Always standing by, ready to create a military without borders.
Les enfants terribles. Dave, how the hell are you?
I promise if they start cloning me. That'd be a bad idea.
How you been, man? What's been going on? When were you on Games Daily? It was a while ago, right?
Yeah, man. Time's a flat circle right now, so I have no idea.
2020's jacked it all up.
Sometime in 2019 it was.
Okay.
I would stake a claim on that.
Okay, I'll take it. For people who don't know, what is StackUp.org?
StackUp is a military charity. We support active duty and veteran service members through gaming. All of our programs are about improving mental health and providing a healthy outlet for active duty and veteran service members through gaming and geek culture. So we support U.S. and allied nations veterans, and we do that through a handful of programs ranging from video game care packages to trips to gaming events, which you've obviously gotten to see a lot of that over the last few years. We have local volunteer teams, and we have a 24/7 crisis intervention and peer-to-peer support line through our Discord community. Those are our four pillar programs.
And I think that's we've gotten to see it. You guys have worked so closely with us, right? Before StackUp, brought people to the London meet and greet, which was such a fantastic thing.
Yeah, those were two best friends. So there's a decent enough chance that you guys are watching. Parker and Chance had the opportunity to come out with us for the London event, and that was freaking awesome.
After they met us in London, they're like, you know what? We were wrong. We're not fans anymore. We don't need to watch Kind of Funny anymore.
Like, man, this is a terrible idea. Oh my God.
Yeah, I can't believe that went all the way to London.
We ended up getting one of those guys was a Canadian vet, one of them was a U.S. vet. And so that's always something that's real special to me when we can kind of bring allied nations vets together. It's not nearly as, I don't get those opportunities nearly as often as I'd like to, but when they come up, we usually jump on it.
And I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on today, right? And even though you and I, our schedules were so complicated, we've moved this like 19 times trying to get it to here. We are still going to make it. And this will post on November 11th, which is Veterans Day here in the United States.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to you too. And of course, Dave, it's rare that I on Veterans Day get to talk to a veteran like yourself. So thank you for your service to our country. And thank you, obviously, for everything you do with StackUp. Well, we're here and we're talking about it. I think it's a great jumping off point for this interview. To you, a veteran, what is Veterans Day? Is that something, I think for most Americans, right, it is something that pops up and like, oh, that thing's today. And then I know how many people confuse it with Memorial Day and don't really know the behind it, right? Like Veterans Day is a day meant to honor military veterans, period, right? But both alive
so we
and
have,
dead.
So there's basically three major military holidays as far as honoring the service of folks who've been in the military, right? Memorial Day, everybody is acutely aware of, obviously, a holiday intended for us to honor those military service members who made the ultimate sacrifice, right? Who died in the line of duty. We have Veterans Day today, which is intended to honor those who have served previously. So while it's not focused on those who are currently serving, obviously we kind of lump everybody in colloquially there. But really, Veterans Day is all about those who have served. And then Armed Forces Day, which is specifically to honor those who are currently serving. Now, as far as one of the things that always comes up, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, not so much Armed Forces Day. I think that one kind of slides under the radar. And hey, that's fine. We get plenty of folks who thank you and all that stuff, and it's always appreciated. So I don't think there's too many vets out there going, It's Armed Forces Day. Where's my free?
They have the calendar circle. They're like, what's going on?
But you know, so as far as talking, one of the things that generally comes up, and I've had a lot of people ask me in the past, like, you know, hey, you know, do you feel a certain kind of way when, you know, somebody wants to thank you for your service on Memorial Day? Or do you feel a certain kind of way when people, you know, will kind of not necessarily be able to distinguish the finer details? And I always say, it's not an issue. You know, for anytime somebody feels like they want to, you know, show a little bit of respect, I guess, or just kind of thank somebody for their service, I think that's awesome. It's all about the intent, you know, where somebody's heart at. And you know, Facebook is always a gold mine for people getting offended about things, right? And so I see it sometimes from the veteran community too. And I have to roll my eyes, but yeah, this of course, Veterans Day, we're talking about those who have served.
Is it, I mean, obviously, you know, your life so tied up with Stack Up. And that's a question I have for you too, actually, you know, Director of Veteran Services. Is Stack Up, which of course is, you know, a charity and all this stuff, is it your full-time gig? Do you have other jobs? Like, how does that work for you?
No, this is it. I mean, awesome. So I've been doing this for, I guess, about 5 years now. January 2017 was when it became a full-time commitment for me. Gotcha. Prior to that, I was helping run some programs and trying to balance that with a full-time school schedule. Actually, I was going to University of Connecticut for biomedical engineering and very quickly learned that I could not pursue both of these things. And being passionate about gaming and even had I gotten that degree, really wanting to leverage that degree to do work in the game space, you know, make more adaptive hardware and stuff. It's like, hey, I'm getting this door is opening for me now. And that was it. It kind of became a full-time commitment ever since. And yeah, this is it. You're looking at, my home office that I basically live out of even pre-COVID. This is it. This is my living space, my work.
I appreciate all the boxes there, I'm sure, that are ready to ship, like just like behind me with all the kind of funny consoles I need to send out to people. Yeah, that's kind of work from home in 2020. So obviously your life being so wrapped up in Stack Up, wrapped up in veterans, does Veterans Day carry something special, or is it just like, oh, that's coming up, that's cool, we should do something, or does it actually for you matter in a different way? I don't know what I'm trying to say, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. It's one of the, not having ever served, obviously, I don't have that lens to it. And I don't know, for the rest of us, it's a day that comes around and you are like, oh yeah, but it's not like there's cards. Mm-hmm. It's not like Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day, or where there's like, oh, this is what you do on Veterans Day. I didn't know what it meant for you.
I mean, so there's almost two answers to the question. I mean, obviously, and I'll start with the organizational. You know, for Stack Up, the organization, this is a huge, this is our biggest holiday of the year. Mm-hmm. We focus our fundraising efforts. We try and do big events. We try and really go big for Veterans Day. So for the organization, this is huge. Like, this is it. You know, this is our Super Bowl, you know, week. You know, for Dave Krause personally, Veterans Day is obviously something that, you know, I feel a close relationship to. I think about it, you know, every Veterans Day, you know, there's going to be points throughout the day where I'm just kind of thinking about it, you know, I'm reflecting back on my service and the service of those that I was with out there. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, it's not hallowed ground type holiday for me, you know. I like to think back on kind of what I've been through and think about the folks that I've reached out to or served with, I should say. But coincidentally, and we're recording this on November 10th. Sorry to break kayfabe there.
God,
but
damn it. You know, they all expect this to be live. The chat's going right now. Is it live? Is it live?
Right. Today is November 10th, which is the Marine Corps birthday. And so I'm a retired Marine. And so for me, Veterans Day and Marine Corps birthday are always back to back. And so that makes the 2 days kind of greater than the sum of their parts for me. And November 10th is definitely a day for, you know, the Marine Corps and for Marine veterans where, you know, I'm getting messages all day from Marines that I served with. I'm sending messages out to old friends of mine, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's just happy birthday, Marines, happy birthday, Marines. And so that's still a little special for me because that's the day. And so that's pretty cool. And having that right next to Veterans Day, it does make the two of them together something kind of special for me.
You talked about looking back on your service. Mm-hmm. Where does that start for you? Where did you decide, or I guess get the inkling that you wanted to serve, let alone go to the Marines?
I think growing up, I was always like, I was a big G.I. Joe fan. Huge G.I. Joe fan, Transformers. that whole lineup of Saturday morning cartoons was really my jam. And so I think that... you know, the good guys fighting the bad guys was always like, you know, any young boy is like, man, that's so cool, right? And so yeah. I looked up to police officers, firefighters, military, anybody who I thought was out there doing, you know, dangerous work to, you know, not for their own benefit, but for,
sure,
the, benefit
for the betterment
of
all. Yeah.
Right. That was always something I thought was really cool. And being a young, scrawny kid, you know, who had to learn how to defend himself fairly early, I never really liked bullies. And I always wanted to, I always thought, why aren't there more people around me that'll step in and intervene? And so I guess I just got a taste for that pretty early. And so being in high school, whenever, you know, the World Trade Center attack happened, sure. I was like, you know what? Our country is going to do something about this, and I'd prefer not to be on the sideline. And for me, it was like, this is a career that I can go into that I can feel honorable about. I can go do something that satisfies me, you know, in a deep level and makes me feel like I'm doing something that matters. I kind of came from a city where there aren't a whole lot of opportunities, and it was like, man, you know, I can go do this, and that's something that I'd be very, very proud to do. And, you know, go out there and earn a life for myself and go do something good. So
where were you from?
Right out of high school, Waterbury, Connecticut, which is not making headlines for any good reasons, but
it makes headlines for another good one.
I grew up around a lot of fantastic people, but it can be a tough city sometimes. And gotcha. So I was 17, 18 years old, looking to get out. Looking to go do something bigger. So I'm, you know, proud of where I came from and the person that it made me, but I was wheels up as soon as I could. Like, let me get out of here. I'll go to Iraq. That sounds good.
It's gotta be better than Connecticut. I gotta go.
I told people I had a choice. I could stay in Waterbury, Connecticut, or I could go to Iraq. And out of the two of them, I chose Iraq.
When you enlist and you actually leave and you go to boot camp, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Side story from Greg Miller. It's that thing where I think everybody thinks they have some kind of rough understanding of the military thing. And being a reporter in Columbia, Missouri, in what, 2005 and 2006, and then a little bit of 2007, like, I learned really quickly how much I didn't. And one of my favorite articles, or one of my favorite stories of one of my articles of all time, was me getting roasted by a dude. And it was a Marine, where I had written about a Marine who had been shot and survived, and it was like this whole thing, and I followed him for his whole journey. But his initial thing, I'm writing it, the report, and I, of course, didn't want to say Marine a million times in the thing.
So eventually, so you're gonna say the S word. Like,
soldier. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And wrote all the, and the article went up, and it was this like heartwarming thing, this whole thing about his mom and their prayer vigils, and he survived, like, you know, like a piece of his brain, like as thin as a piece of paper. Like, if it would have gone that much over, he's done for, but he survived and he lived and he used video games for rehab. But I'm getting way too deep. This initial story, this happened, it's a miracle, and yada, yada, yada. And I remember answering my phone the first day back to work after it, and the first thing was a guy, and it was like, you know, Marines are Marines, soldiers are soldiers.
You idiot.
I guess this is what happens when someone writes about something they have no idea. And I was like,
oh my goodness.
And it was like, damn, but I also get it. Like, I get being like, you know what I mean? Like, I get, like, I totally didn't have the reference to it.
Let me be clear. You can't say it. I can. That dude, he's wound a little too tight. All right, I'm gonna tell you right now. I've never been offended by somebody referring to my service in the Marine Corps as me having been a soldier. Again, sure. Where's your heart at?
Now, I should have been closer to that AP style guide, though. I screwed
that's
up.
It, man. Now, if another vet calls me a soldier, then we're gonna
different
have
story.
Some good natured ribbing that might take place, you know, which as we tend to do. But yeah, don't. That is funny, and there's always one, right? Like, you idiot.
Yeah, exactly. But when you ship off to boot camp and you are like, I'd rather do this than that, is that the case the entire time? Is there that moment where you're there of like, oh shit, I fucked
this
up.
This was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
No, not for me. Not for me, it wasn't. I'm sure there were some guys there that definitely felt that. For me, I was real lucky. I tell people, you know, I'm like the, I don't know what the percentage is, and I don't want to smack talk all recruiters, but I actually had a really great recruiter. He was awesome. He never BS'd me on anything. And if anything, he made things seem like they were going to be way harder than they actually were. There were a lot of times in boot camp where I'm like, oh, I thought this was actually going to be worse.
Say that out loud though, right?
No, I did not. I kept my mouth shut, man. I was taught well how to stay under the radar and just, do what you're told, shut up, and you know, don't be the guy that's, you know, don't be falling behind, you know,
handle your
business. So that's what I did. But no, for me, I mean, there were, now that said, you know what, let me not give myself too much credit. There were definitely nights where you're laying there going like, this is never going to end, is it? Like, this is terrible. I'm gonna die here. Or like, what was I thinking? But they were fleeting for me. I knew that, like, I had my eyes on the prize, where it's like, I know I'm going to get through this, and you know, I'll be out there doing what I signed up to do.
I wanted to get to this eventually, but we're kind of here. So I want to pull the pin and talk about it. You're talking about your recruiter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you right now in, especially because you have such an interesting perspective. You are a veteran. You are a gamer. You're right here, right?
Yeah.
We've seen, obviously, a flare up recently, I think, with like the National Guard entering into deals with GameSpot or, you know, streaming space and all that jazz. And then not only that, I think, then there are these instances of shitty recruiters. Like you said, you had a good one, right? And I know that back in the day, covering stuff for the paper, I definitely saw guys and it was a talk, and you'd tell stories like, that's really unethical the way you're doing that or whatever and stuff. Like, how does all that affect you? Because I feel like it's never, and you know better than me, but I feel like when the conversations are happening, it's never, man, the people who are in the military, the people who are veterans, the people who are boots on the ground kind of thing, they fucking suck. But then it is this thing of like, well, these methods are weird, and are we preying on these children and da da da. And even for you, of like 17, 18, coming out of high school, having a recruiter, what is your take on all that, I guess? And I know that's a huge question.
How do I,
it'll probably be another 20 minutes of
how
conversation.
Do I reconcile?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I would love to deep dive. I'll try and be
coded. Do it. This is your show. You're my cool friend. Do whatever you want.
Nice. It's my time, Greg. Strap in. We're going for a ride. So here's the first thing, right? I think that there are unfortunately some recruiters out there that, you know, are doing it wrong, or maybe they're doing it right. I was never a recruiter. I don't know how these guys are being taught. But I know that there's definitely some recruiters out there doing things in a way that makes people uncomfortable, and rightfully so makes people uncomfortable, right? When you're talking about, going into low income areas, I came from a low income area. So if I had the good experience of having a recruiter that, you know, respected my time, like he was intent on identifying folks who legitimately wanted to do this. But I'm sure there were plenty of other recruiters out there that wouldn't have given a rip so long as they hit their quota. And you see that in some of the way that waivers will get pursued and things. It's like, oh, well, normally you can't join if this is going on, but we can waive that. Don't worry about it. And I saw some of that stuff going on. You see people, you hear people on the military that talk about how they got kind of promised this, that, or the other. I think the Marine Corps does a better job than most, as far as what they sell. What they're selling is this whole first to fight. Oh, it's like everything the Marine Corps promotes is like, you are going to go to combat. You know, they try and stress that. Which does a good job of mitigating some of it, right? But you mentioned that, you know, National Guard, and they kind of get into these relationships with GameStop and you see it with Twitch, right? Everybody saw what was going on with like the Army esports. So I think there's two sides to that. On the one side, does it, as a gamer, like does it feel a little uncomfortable to see gaming leveraged as a recruitment tool? I don't want to paint in too broad of strokes here. So this is just the ramblings and response.
I think definitely people watching and understand that this is a nuanced thing. So this isn't the end all be all. You're doing a broad stroke.
Yeah. There are times where I see it and I'm thinking like, oh, this feels a little funky to me. But I also know that, and I've had the chance to meet, especially with like the Army esports team, for example, I've met these folks, I've hung out with them. They are great. They're great people who are legitimately like super passionate gamers. And I know that for them, in their execution of that position they have, they are 100% genuine. Now, is there like Army Recruiting Command kind of looking at this with eyes who are not all passionate gamers, who don't necessarily all get this space? Almost certainly. You're going to have folks in the chain of command that don't really get this. And they're just like, well, what are the kids into? They like Fortnite. So let's maybe do a recruitment ad that looks like Fortnite or something. I don't know. Right.
Yeah.
Let me not give too many ideas here. So I think
don't give the goal.
Yeah. So like I said, it is a nuanced issue. Do I think there's a place for it? Well, I think that, you know, they need to kind of be where the people are. Right. And I think the way you do that right is to kind of integrate into that space. it's going to come, like, one of my favorite things about the gaming community is how real recognizes real. You're not going to come into this space as somebody who's like, hey, video games, right? And get accepted. You kind of got to be able to walk the walk. It's not enough to just come in and say that you're about this life, right? And so I think when that's done well, and if the Army is, and they had a 2-star who actually was, he got it, which was the craziest thing to me. They had this 2-star general who actually understood it well enough to where he was trying to do it the right way with this Army esports thing. So I think there was a lot of good intent there. And I don't think that the intent was to snatch these kids up. But yeah, I mean, you see this stuff with like GameStop and all these other partnerships, and you know, you got to wonder like, is this ethically sound? Like, is this the right way of going about it? And time will kind of shake the answers out of that. But you hope that, you know, the folks out there doing the recruiting, you hope that their hearts are in the right place and that their intentions are in the right place.
Sure.
And you hope that if, you know, these folks are looking to extend into the gaming space or whatever space it is, right? Like if book clubs were the thing, then we'd start seeing military recruiting book clubs, right? Are they coming into that genuinely?
I think, and that's the thing about it, is understanding the space and understanding what's going on. Because I understand we want to sit here and be defensive of gaming because it's our passion, it's our life, it's our careers. Mm-hmm. But then it is this thing of, I think back to going to the movies in high school, and every movie at AMC Cantera started with the Few, the Proud, the Marines ad. And the guy climbing up the rocks and then having the sword.
Fighting the dragon.
And it's that interesting thing of, we weren't offended back then by it, right? Like of it being in front of movies. And granted, gaming and Twitch are a more personal, intimate thing, but it's those inroads that start getting made that we have to have these moments of correction.
Yeah.
Of like, no, that's over the line. Or no, what are you doing? This isn't genuine. And you have to be able to try to feel that out in an interesting, in a way that is constantly changing and evolving. And I don't have the answers for
it. Yeah. And I think too, like, because movies are such a, it's always been such a conventional pipeline, right? Like if you're making a movie, you've got a big studio, you're getting into deals with Regal or AMC or whoever it is. There's a lot of business that's happening to get that, the advertisement played there, but it's happening in a business setting. I think people are a little bit quicker to recoil when it comes to the gaming side because it's being done through a Twitch, it's being done through YouTube, it's being done through these places where, you know, the people that are making this content are street level, for lack of a better term. It's people like me, people, it's like the person to your left and right that's just making content. And now it's this kind of big, you know, corporate type entity that's coming in here and saying, oh, we want some of this too. And again, I don't personally think there's anything wrong with that just intrinsically. What I do think is it can be executed poorly and it can be done with the wrong intent or with the wrong methodology.
Sure.
And so hopefully they're taking it seriously, that this is like, hey, this is a place where people are really, really passionate. And if you come in here and you're backwards and you're trying to, you know, do the whole like, you know, how you doing, fellow kids, like that's not going to work here. And you're going to embarrass yourself. And not only are you going to embarrass yourself, but you're going to hurt the reputation of, you know, the military service members that are, you're kind of putting in a position to do that. And we saw it with Army Esports, a lot of backlash. And a lot of that was nonsense on the, you know, as a gaming community.
Sure.
I understand it. Hey, you're going to go out and you're going to get a good laugh and trolling is funny sometimes, right? Like I'm not going to sit here
Don't tell them. Don't let the trolls know.
It wasn't funny. Like some of that stuff was hilarious, but also like these are real people and they're trying to do their job, and you got, you know, they're getting freaking attacked on their Twitch channels all the time. It's like, man, like I know those folks and they're good people.
Yeah.
And they're not there. I can promise you there isn't a bone in their body that's thinking, ooh, let me go snatch up some underprivileged teens to go fight in the war machine. Like that's not what's going on with those people.
And I guess this is a multi-part question, but has that been something you guys at Stack Up have had to deal with? And I guess more recently, the blowback of this, but then being at events, I guess, before you were established. Because again, Stack Up's been around kind of forever, right? It was different before when Steven was somewhere else. Then it became Stack Up. So like I think there's people who know what it is and understand what it is and obviously taking care of veterans who are gamers, right? Getting games into the military people. And it's not even veteran, right? Active duty as well. Like getting games into people's hands who are overseas or just want to play games or whatever. Like all that makes sense, but you guys are always so upfront and so present, I guess, at events. I see you at PAX. You guys have the big red shirts. Yeah. Like you're out there. You have, you know, Have you had that where gamers bristle from you because they think you're some kind of?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. It's not, thankfully, you know, it's not terribly common. And especially at events, like people are generally cool at events. Like now I don't know what's being said behind backs or whatever, right? Like maybe somebody's like, oh, look at those idiots over there. But generally speaking, when you get two people together and you're talking to one another and you, once that human element is a part of the equation, people are generally pretty cool. And they say, oh, that's cool. I didn't realize it was like that. But yeah, we get it online. You know, every time you know, we're putting something out there, it doesn't take long before somebody's posed like, and you get the old classics, like the baby killers.
Sure.
You also get, you get this whole gamut of responses, but, you know, what we've always said, you know, as an organization, we are not here to support like recruiting efforts or the military kind of function. Our role and our passion is to support those people who did it and are doing it. We support the people, you know, and that's kind of like, hey, you know, we can welcome anybody into this community, whether you're a supporter of the military in general or not. The question is, do you support the people that are, you know, with altruism in their heart, generally doing this dangerous job? And that's kind of where we stand. But yeah, we see it a little bit, but thankfully most people they see what we're about, and I think it resonates with folks, and that they understand why. They understand why what we do is important.
Well, I think that's why it works. Again, when you're talking about, we were talking in a different way of being, you know, ground level, but boots on the ground kind of thing. Like the organization and Stack Up, right, is about taking care of the people who are actively serving, who are, and again, who have also left. I'm playing fast and loose, but you understand what I mean. Yep. Of like the people who are
welcome to writing anything for Stack Up. Do you know how long it takes to get certain things into a sentence? You know how hard it is to put into one sentence that we support U.S. and allied veterans and also active duty and also reservists, anybody who has currently serving or prior it's not. It's so stupid. So many commas. So but much parenthetical information.
It's about taking care of the people who are making up the military, if that makes sense. Yeah. You know,
you support the warfighter. You don't have to support the war to support the warfighter.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And I think that's why it resonates, and that's why it makes sense, and to see the excitement of it. And I also think, too, in a very interesting way that I always think back to, and I hope with any podcast I do, or, you know, what kind of funny is I get to share my personal experiences. I think back to when I was in Missouri, and obviously, you know, you talk about 9/11 for you in high school. Like, that was, like, week three of me being at college, you know, away from my family for the first time, like, freshman year that all this pops off.
And yeah, I think you're 2 years ahead of me.
Yeah. And so to see peers around me who, I think when you're a kid and you're growing up and you think of the military, you think of adults and you think of soldiers and you think of them having this kind of mindset of like, they're there for the mission. And obviously when they're at work, they are there for the mission. But then meet people who either were already gone, who are coming back, and this is my friends group, this is then obviously families, this is then working as a reporter, to meet folks and find that, and I know it sounds so stupid, but I know someone listening to this probably finds that, doesn't understand this. So, like, to find a diverse group of interest, to find that, like, the military doesn't define them. It is what they do, but they also love games, and they also love, you know, music. And to round that out, I think, is one of the greatest things that Stack Up does. To, you know, for you guys to wander around.
Really, yeah. I remember, so, you know, when I was active duty, gaming was prevalent. Like, gaming was around all the time, right? But generally, like, there was always this kind of, and I guess you just look at culturally, right, and socially, kind of where gaming is at right now, which is crazy, right?
Because
you know, you think about when we were kids, like, you get clowned on it if people knew you were playing games, and so I got clowned on, right? And then it was, oh, well, sports games are cool, but you're into that Final Fantasy stuff, so that ain't it. And there was always kind of, it seemed like there were these two separate, like, you couldn't necessarily be a gamer and, like, a gym rat.
Totally.
Like, those things always seemed diametrically opposed. But so I always enjoyed kind of being that guy in, you know, in my unit who was big into the gaming, where it's like we could hang out and do, sorry, I'm trying to keep the lights, like, this Florida sun is just, like, right.
It's not even that. It's just the sun in general. I've had enough of it, you know, just get out of here. We've had enough
it's
of you.
Stupid. back bringing this train back on. Sorry. You know, so being a guy that kind of split the difference in there. So, no, like, I'm super into this. And I'm like, I am unapologetically, like, nerdy. And it was funny to see, like, I kind of became this go-to guy for, like, people in my unit. If they wanted to know, like, hey, is this game going to be any good? Or what do you think about this? Or any good games coming out? I kind of became that guy. And that ended up going into like hosting like basically game nights in my barracks and stuff. And we'd have rock band competitions or we'd be playing whatever. And that was always really cool. Like I had Soul Calibur nights at my house in Okinawa, actually. Every Friday night, you know, the guys from the whole Bomb Squad team would come over and we'd be drinking a couple beers, playing Soul Calibur and throw some food on the grill. And that was what we did. And so to see it and those same guys I was playing that and like Borderlands 2 with when that came out, when I got hurt, you know, being able to reconnect with them and play that way. And I still keep in touch with some of these guys through games. But it's nice to see that that's the norm now. For a while, it was like, oh, you can't be, you can't really care about fitness if you care about games. Sure. And now that's absolutely not the case. In fact, it's funny to see how much those worlds have merged.
I'm not a fan of it, to be honest. All right. All these people, they're making me look
emasculating.
I liked being the image of a gamer. All right. This guy right here. And now you got all these people with abs walking around doing pushups. I hate it. Right, Barry?
You are beautiful with that mustache, too, by the way. And I would almost like, I can't speak for the entire military and veteran community, but I would say that is a solid, like, honorary veteran mustache you have going on there.
Wow. Look at that, everybody. You heard it here first. I'll take it.
You got a good deployment mustache going.
I thank you. Something. I mean, you flatter me. You flatter me quite a bit. But no, that, you know, I think I don't want to say our country because that's, again, a broad stroke or whatever, but at least the way I was raised, I just didn't see the dichotomy. I didn't see the three dimensions because you did. And I think, again, that's just how I was raised with who was around me, right? Like, you know, my uncle was a veteran, my grandfather was a veteran, but like never thinking about a peer, never thinking about what that would look like in a modern way. When you're thinking of adults, you're thinking of adults, and that's what kind of locks it off.
Adult stuff.
Yeah. And so I've always appreciated, you know, you guys taking care of everybody you take care of, and I'm not going to try to put it all into one sentence. And then on top of that, just being around and showcasing that, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, you mentioned your injury, like also that, you know, having been, you know, doing this professionally since 2007 and going to these events, seeing you guys there just being yourself, right? You know what I mean? Just walking around like, yeah, this is fine. And I think, and like even to think so somebody like Steve Spallin from Able Gamers, right? The same idea of just like, No, gaming is everybody. It doesn't matter like what your definition or what your background is or what you think video games are. They are in every corner of life right now, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it's all just kind of this clay, right? And it's all part of the, I guess part of the gaming is a big ingredient that makes up like who I am and a lot of other vets. And it's cool to just, it's just cool to be in that space, especially get out there. And, you know, we bring folks all the time who've never been to a convention and aren't really, they don't know what to expect. And then, you know, they get out there, they have a great time and they come back. It's like, wow, that was really awesome. And you're not going out there like, oh, this person wasn't a veteran, this person was. And, you know, there's not these two different experiences. We're all just out there and we're just gamers. The fact that, you know, some of us, especially with the stack of career, it's like some of us have served in the military, some of us haven't, but we're there as gamers. And for those of us that have served, it's neat to be able to get away from that and remind yourself like, yeah, I don't have to, you know, the military was a very, very important part of my story and who I am as a person. But believe it or not, it took me a little bit of time to figure out who Dave Krause, the human, was once my military career was up, when I was going through that retirement process, because I knew very well who Staff Sergeant David Krause was, United States Marine Corps. I had no idea who Dave Krause, the person, was. So I kind of tried to take my experiences going through that process and put that into something like our air assault program, which like, we're just going to go out and just have a fun time. And the fact that, you know, your military background or what you did or didn't do is not going to be a factor here. We're just going to go out and have fun. You're going to see that, you know, we're just going to get to focus on who you are as a person.
Is that struggle to find out who Dave Krause is common? Cause I would think it is, right? Cause again, correct me if I'm wrong, but everything when I've talked, it's, you know, you go to boot camp to be broken down, to be built back up in the whatever branch of military they need you to be. And that's great. And again, it gives you a mission and your whole life revolves around it. But I have to imagine, when you retire, what does your life revolve around? What do you do with that? And how do you find yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think everybody goes through it to some extent, right? For some people, it's going to, you know, some people are going to have an easier transition than others, but I think everybody goes through it at some point. Now, you know, folks will toss around stuff like indoctrination and things like, and that's not really what it is. And if I could try and identify like what I saw as the biggest reason for it, it would be this. When you are serving in the military, you are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, surrounded by people who are having the same lived experiences as you. And so that results in very, very tight bonds. You know, we suffer together, we train together, we fight together, we do all these things together. It is a big family. And when you pick up and go from one duty station to the next, you're falling in with another group of people who still have the same experiences you have. They relate to the same things. You are doing this thing called life together for that period of time. And then when you get out, if you're me, you go back to small town Connecticut, where I bought a house and started going to University of Connecticut. And you go from being surrounded by people who understand and can relate to you in every aspect of your life to being around people that probably can't. Sure. And that's not to say that, you know, oh, you don't get it. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But the fact is the matter, like, if you took everybody who understood kind of your daily life and removed them from the equation, you'd feel a little isolated, right? It's like, oh, crap. You know, I've lived my entire life around people who have this background or this experience.
The same foundation, right? That's what I think.
Yeah, it's kind of like, jokes aside, like, anybody who knows me, like, it's, I swear this, I'm not saying this to make a pun, but it's like an amputation where you kind of come away from this family and it's like, oh, I've got to figure out how to do this. And you're not in a situation where everything is told to you anymore. Like, here's the structure.
Audio listeners, we haven't mentioned Dave doesn't have a left arm.
That's it. I'm missing a left hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Amputation, exactly.
Right. Jokes.
Yeah.
Nothing but the highest brow comedy here on Kinda Funny.
That's what we do, man. Well, that's why we only say kinda. You know what I mean? Just kinda. We're not trying to just set kinda. Any records here. You know what I mean? Yep. No, we're not
planting our flag in anything.
I forget who it was. Somebody I talked a long time ago to, though, mentioned it kind of being like everything you just said, but like the analog being like, think about it this way. Like, most people, if not everybody you're going to meet in your life from America, and this is obviously broad, but most people you're going to meet on your day to life went to school. Like, they you can trade a story about being in a classroom or having a bad teacher or, you know, maybe a first date. Think of all the common things we all have, right? But then then the military is that, and like what you're talking about, to be surrounded by that, where you can talk about the experiences you had in boot camp or whatever when you were out on patrol, these kind of things, and then take that all away and put somebody there, and like you literally have people like me fumbling for the right word to call boot camp, right? Like, we have no idea what that experience is like and how isolating that must be.
Yeah, and you just get used to speaking a certain language, right? It's like a code switching thing where you just get used to speaking this particular language in the way that you kind of are with your friends. And it's not, I think sometimes we see folks go too far in the, oh, well, just nobody else is going to get it. You know, only veterans will understand. And I think that's less accurate than saying like, hey, you've just gotten used to being around a particular, you know, people, right? Like people who have been through XYZ experience. So when you get out, you got to, like, for me, I had to look like, okay, well, now I'm kind of sitting in these classrooms with a bunch of 18, 19 year olds having my Billy Madison moment. So I'm like, all right, well, cool. I've got all these experiences that maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get a chance to impart some of the things I've learned to these young kids. But also, it would be foolish of me not to realize that there's a lot of things I can learn from them. You know, these 18, 19 year old students who are doing this kind of on their own. Like, you know, we talk about, like, you know, mommy and daddy maybe paying for college or however, like loans, student loans, all that good stuff. But the fact is they're out here in uncharted water, just getting a degree. I went right from high school to the military. It's like, hey, my structure was good. I knew what I needed, where I needed to be, when I needed to be there, and what I needed to do. My responsibility was to train hard and kind of carry out that training. So I tried to open my mind up and say, well, what can I get from these folks and just try and integrate myself back into, like, you know, what's it going to be like not being around a whole bunch of veterans all the time? And, you know, I had a good veteran group at UConn that of folks who I love dearly and still stay in touch with that was my methadone. I was like, I still got to hang out with those guys. But then, you know, you have to be able to take that military veteran hat off, put it in your pass box and say, all right, I want this to continue to inform who I am. This is an important part of my background, but I am not going to be a 40-year-old guy wearing my varsity letterman's jacket, you know, to make that reference.
Yeah, I can't, like, great point.
What's next for me? And I think that's the transition part. Sorry, I know I'm rambling.
It's your show.
I think that's all about the transition. You got to figure out what's next and not get too hung up on the past. You got to honor it, take the lessons from it, learn, you know, continue to honor it without being too invested in it.
Sure. So then not being hung up on it, not being too invested mm-hmm. in it, not having it define you, is that made doubly hard by your injuries? Like, it's one of those things of like, you know, when people see you, I have to imagine and meet you for the first time, eventually it comes up of like, and so what happened to you? You know, yeah. Mandolin accident? What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's it. I'm running with scissors is my go-to. but I mean, of course it comes up, and look, I cheated, right? So I work for a military charity.
Sure.
Right? I'm talking military stuff all the time. I'm around military and veterans all the time. And I love that. I love that I still get to be connected to this. But at the end of the day, I struggled with my injuries at first because I didn't know who I was outside of my career field. I didn't know what I had to offer the world outside of being a Marine, outside of being an EOD tech. And if I'm not doing
EOD?
Explosive ordnance disposal.
We were talking about boot camp, and then we kind of totally shot off over here. Yeah. So we never finished where you went and what all happened in the Marines for you.
Yeah. There's a lot of in between, but you know, when I got hurt, I was an explosive ordnance disposal technician. Uh-huh. And that was, to me, like, that was what I wanted. And I didn't come into the Marine Corps doing that. I went into that career field later, knowing like, this is where I want to be. I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I was so proud of being a part of that community. I loved my work. I was satisfied to a level that I'd never felt before. And then you get hurt and I say, all right, well, now I'm retiring. And when I talk about not hanging too much onto the past, I'm probably choosing my words carefully. I am not advocating, you know, for military folks. It's like, okay, that's done. Moving on. Put that in my past box. I don't talk about that. Sure. What I am advocating for is being mindful that you don't tie your sense of self too much to what you do, because that's not where you want to be getting your value from. And so I felt valueless for a while because I didn't know what I had to offer outside of that career field. And so when I kind of trying to come through that and getting out the other side, and realize like, okay, well, what was it about that I loved doing? You know, Dave Krause isn't providing value because he was a Marine Corps EOD tech. Dave Krause had maybe, you know, if I'm lucky, I have something to offer this world because I like helping people and I like taking my experiences and using those to help people who are maybe going through some challenges. So as an EOD tech, I got to be like, there is a dangerous explosive thing, right? Maybe it's an IED, maybe it's an old bomb that's not exploded, whatever it is. There's a dangerous thing over there. Somebody has to deal with it. I took a lot of pride in being the person to raise my hand and go do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I help people or try to help people by, you know, being a resource for mental health and say, hey, let's go game together. You're having a tough time, Roger. I get that. When you're kind of by yourself and you don't feel like anybody's listening, maybe hop on a game with me for a bit. And sure. So I try to bring help to people that way now. But what I realize that my identity, I get my value, or I derive my value out of trying to give more than I receive. And so losing my Marine Corps career didn't take that from me. I just had to go pursue a new avenue. And I was very, very lucky that I had the chance to meet Steve while I was at Walter Reed, and kind of begin what ended up, you know, this journey that led me to running programs for Stack Up and being able to do this full time for a living now. And I look back at my injuries, the best thing that ever happened to me, because it gave me my sphere of influence now, and my ability to help others is way bigger now than it was when I was a Marine. But if I'd let myself fall too deep down that rabbit hole, identifying myself by the career field, then I might've missed all this. I might've just kind of zombie, you know, freaking shambled right past that open door and not noticed it.
We talk about your injury and your career part of it. Talk to me something I don't think we've ever actually talked about. Talk to me about your injury and being a gamer. Like,
yeah.
When this happens and you realize what life is now, is there this thing of like, I'm not going to be able to play games? Because even all the strides we've made, especially recently with accessibility, to dial it back a few years ago, it was bad. Way. Yeah.
It was bad. yeah, man. So I kid you not, right behind the more important things, like how's my wife, how's my daughter, like family, like that stuff, right behind that was, ah, crap. How am I going to game? I got to figure this out.
I can imagine. I think that's, and you say, kid, you not, like, keep in mind the people you're talking to here. I think that would be at the top of a lot of our priority list, because that's what we all want to do. That's what we all love to do.
Okay. It's important. And it's like, and I, you know, I can say that jokingly, but like, gaming is important. And to me, it is, right? But whatever that is for you, if you're a freaking diehard mountain climber, you're probably going to be pretty concerned about how you're going to get back up on the rocks now that you're missing a freaking hand.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty high up on the list of things that I was thinking about. It was like, all right, I got to figure this out. Now, my thought, because I'm extremely stubborn. And I was like, I disarm bombs for a living. I can figure this out. Had a little bit of cockiness too, but I was like, I learned how to mess with electronics a little bit, through, you know, doing bomb squad work. So I was like, I know my way around a soldering iron and stuff. I can figure this out. I'm gonna figure out a way to modify some controllers. But you know what the first thing I did was I bought a Razer Naga Epic, one of those 12 button thumb grid deals. I still have that mouse, and I was like, I'm gonna map keyboard commands to this. And if I'm gonna play console, I actually took, like, I was taking coat hangers and stuff and making little like lever arms to be able to pull the left trigger. You know, whatever it took, I was like, I'm gonna figure this out. And so I did, and it took some time, but sure. I was ultimately able to get that sorted. But yeah, you're right. Accessibility options were limited, boy. There were maybe one or two things out there for like one-handed gaming, and they were expensive, and they were cost prohibitive. There's a lot of tech involved, and it was just like, this is gonna be a nightmare. So I got used to playing like Final Fantasy Tactics and Baldur's Gate on iPad, and then playing these PC games and mapping, doing custom mapping and whatever it took. You know, I figured it out, and I had the good fortune of meeting some folks who were able to help me work through that too. But I got it sorted pretty quick, and then really quickly realized that a lot of my contemporaries down there at Walter Reed hadn't even considered it. They're like, oh yeah, I used to game. I'm like, you didn't think about it? Again, their priorities were elsewhere.
Sure.
So I get it. They figured out how to do those things that were most important to them. For me, playing games was really, really important, because like, what else is going to be there for me at 2:30 in the morning when I can't sleep and I feel my arm getting blown off again?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I can get up and stare at the wall for a couple hours, or I can go play, you know, PlayStation. And like, one of those sounds like a good time. One of them doesn't. So
either of them sound better than playing PC. So I understand.
That's it, right? So we'll have to talk about that. I can't let that completely slide.
No, it's fine.
But it was a big deal for me, and it was frustrating at first. I also play drums, and I'm not gonna go too many rabbit holes, but it was like, that was my thing. Like, those, my passions are music and gaming. Those are my fun passions. And so I had to figure both of those things out, missing a hand. And I'm real proud to say that I've been able to figure them both out. And even prouder to be able to say that, at least on the gaming side, you know, I've had the opportunity to influence accessibility in the gaming industry. So the Xbox Adaptive Controller was something that I got to work on. You know, I got to help design that. And that was from the earliest stages of that. Like, the pitch to Microsoft was, my partner at the time that made that original pitch. So we were ground level on that, which is like, cool. Like, this is like dream come true territory for me. Now thankfully accessibility is a lot better. And I was actually just having this conversation with, you've met, my buddy Sketch. He's our director of communications.
Yeah.
New console launch, right? This is always a bittersweet time for me. It's awesome because I'm excited about the tech. It's less awesome because I don't know if I'm gonna be able to play it.
Sure.
Now the Series X, you know, because Microsoft opted to do the intergenerational compatibility, that's it. That's an easy day for me. Elite controllers work out of the box for me. They're awesome. So I'm just bringing that forward. PlayStation is going with the DualSense, of course, which is an awesome piece of tech, but it means I'm not going to be able to use my DualShock 4s, which I have modded. I have all these like little doodads for the PS4. I'm going to be figuring that out again. Now, I've been doing this long enough. I'm going to be good. This thing's going to come in. I'm going to take a hand drill, put a little hole in L2, run some speaker wire through it, tie a knot, and make myself a little pull ring. And I'm going to be good. And I'll use their onboard accessibility settings to remap L1 if I need to. But, we are in a much better place now. But the new console generation, when the PS4 came, I bricked like 3 DualShock 4s before the PS4 even came out. Because, like, how am I going to? I was trying to solder onto it. And it's just like this clear plastic thing. I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I bricked a bunch of controllers and then got tired of throwing money at it. But,
sure. Yeah. That's understandable.
Man, I'm going for the fences right now. I don't even remember where I started on this, Greg. You're going to have to edit like half of this out.
Oh, no, we just put it up in full. Don't worry about that. That's how this works. Oh, that's good. Don't worry about that one bit.
Yeah, man, accessibility is pretty good right now, thankfully. People paying attention.
All right, good. Real quick, Barrett, let's have a word from our sponsor. This episode of We Have Cool Friends is brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That's right, we're kind of funny and we're famous for games. Did you know that? Everybody listens to the podcast and has a great time, and we're worldwide phenomenon, yada yada yada. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, it is the next generation, and somehow youtube.com/kindoffunny still has a 9,000 subscriber lead on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I know we have two channels. It's confusing. You might be watching this on youtube.com/kindoffunny. What I need you to do is go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and subscribe there. We need to overtake youtube.com/kindoffunny, which is, yes, the channel I'm hosting right now, but it doesn't matter. We need to be able to take it over with youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to put Nick Scarpino in his place.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this. Yeah, that's right, Bear. I'm sick of this shit-eating grin Nick Scarpino's always got, all right, that his YouTube channel has more subscribers than my YouTube channel. So right now, everybody needs to subscribe, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, it's PlayStation 5 week. It's Xbox Series X week. We have so much stuff up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We have an Assassin's Creed review, a Miles Morales review, an Astro's Playroom review. We have first impressions of that Ghost Runner game. We got first impressions of the Pathless. We got PS I Love You PS5 review. We got XCast Xbox Series X review. We got stuff going up left and right. I think right now, while I've been recording this, I had just come off of recording a PS5 Spider-Man Remastered video that I think Tim should have gotten up or is going up soon. There's a lot of content about video games up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and we would love it if you went and subscribed over there and watched it. Watch it too, I guess. Don't just subscribe and bounce. Watch the shit too. Wow, what a fantastic ad read. I agree. Everybody should go watch youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You know what I mean, Dave?
I do. Kindoffunny.com, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. So, Dave, what's your favorite video game of all time?
Earthbound.
Oh, okay. Good pick there. Good pick.
That was
there.
You got me. I'm hip fire response with that one.
Yeah, I like why. Clear your mind. Why Earthbound?
Yeah. So I have two answers now. I'm gonna have to get my second answer out in a second too, because I would never forgive myself if I didn't. But sure, Earthbound is sentimentally my favorite game of all time. When that came out, I was a big RPG head. Loved Final Fantasies. Loved all that stuff. I'd play anything I'd get my hands on, but loved RPGs because they were so big and immersive when I was a kid. Earthbound made me laugh, and it was like, it was a Final Fantasy game. I thought it was so funny that here's this fantasy, this game that's typically in a fantasy setting, but it's just this kid my age with a baseball bat running around, throwing yo-yos at hippies and all that good stuff. I loved the humor. I'm a music head, so the fact that it was so, there was so much like love for the Beatles in there and music, it just hit all the pleasure centers for me, and I loved that it was just a little bit outside of the box. Well, more than a little bit. This outside of the box RPG that I fell in love with immediately, and to this day is just my favorite. I have so much sentimental value associated with that game.
Oh yeah, totally.
And that game is, I think when everybody's, when you're growing up, and I'm sure you have a lot of stories just like this, but you're growing up, you want to get a new game. Oftentimes for me, that meant going to Funko Land and trading in whatever could bring myself to let go of, right?
Yeah.
So the reason I never ever traded in my Super Nintendo, everything else went. I never traded in my Super Nintendo because I could never bring myself to let go of my Earthbound cartridge. And fair. So to this day, I still have my original cartridge that I got for Christmas in 1995 with all my original hardware and stuff.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yep. What's your second answer?
Metal Gear Solid. I like joking. There it is. Again, for those of you who can't see, I do happen to resemble Big Boss a little bit these days with the eye patch and all that stuff. That was actually the thought right before, how am I going to game again, was Silver Linings. I kind of look like Big Boss now. I remember thinking that.
I love it. God,
bed.
I love it.
Like, I swear to you, I'm not making that up for the podcast. That was on my mind when I woke up in the hospital. I'm a diehard Metal Gear fan. I like Hideo Kojima's brand of like crazy is perfect for me. I play a lot of like games that do take themselves serious, and I love that stuff. But there's something about like the recipe that some of these games, like these creators, like Shigesato Itoi with Earthbound, and like it was just perfect. It colored outside the lines in the perfect way for me. Metal Gear Solid has always been that way.
Sure.
For me as well. So like I remember when Metal Gear Solid 2, actually, I can even go back further than that. The first Metal Gear on NES, I didn't realize it was a crappy port until years and years later. But I traded a kid Predator for the NES for it. Wow. And Predator was kind of a garbage game.
Yes.
So I traded this kid my copy of Predator for his copy of Metal Gear, and also told him that if you fell in the first pitfall 30 times, you'd get like God mode or something, and he believed me. And so that was a fun playground conversation.
I was going to say, the next day at school probably was a rough one for him.
This was elementary school, so it was like, you know, people believed it, and there was no internet, so
of course
on you, nerd.
Yeah, but, your uncle so worked at Nintendo.
Yep, and I liked it, but I sucked at it, and I never beat it. Years later, Metal Gear Solid. Actually, one of my favorite gaming stories, I rented Metal Gear Solid, and it was no joke, like a mile and a half walk down this really steep hill to get to the video rental place, and like the mile and a half uphill to come back. Rented the game, got home, got to the codec sequence with Meryl. I'm like, it's on the back of the CD case. I'm like, I didn't believe that this was, I didn't know what a fourth wall break was.
Yeah.
And once I finally realized, I was like, there's a chance that this is actually on the back of the CD case. Again, no internet for me, at least. Internet was out by this time. I just didn't have it. And I was like, on a hope and a prayer, I walked down to the, saw it on there, wrote it down on my arm, walked back up.
Awesome.
And then when Metal Gear Solid 2 came out, I didn't own a PS2. So I pre-ordered the game and told my buddy that when it came out, I was like, you let me borrow your PS2 so I can play this game. And when I give it back to you, I'll give you the... Every Metal Gear game has had some wacky like hoop that I had to jump through to get the console or whatever. But yeah, favorite series, and I'm just in love with it. And I am holding out hope that someday Konami can figure out what it is they want to do here. You know,
and maybe what's let your plan? Us get, what's your plan here, Konami?
maybe let us get some Metal Gear titles that belong in the Metal Gear IP.
Yeah, that'd be a nice change of pace, right? Yeah. So wait now. So obviously you're a huge Metal Gear fan, and also, by the way, I love it because my Metal Gear Solid story is the same thing. Rented at a Blockbuster, got home, nice. And it was the thing. And me and my friend were playing. It's on the back of the CD case, and we're like, we picked up the Blockbuster, like you know, the thin thing they had, and flipped it over. And sure isn't enough, somebody had it on the back. They had actually written on the back the thing. I was like, oh, thank God.
Mine did not. But I think what I ended up doing was slipping a piece of paper in like the rental case, or like
nice. Very smart. Look at that. Pay it forward. You've always been out. You said you're out to help people. You're always out to help people.
I try. So wait, though. That's it. My greatest achievement was providing Meryl's codec frequency to whatever random person.
So when you're such a Metal Gear fan, obviously, when Phantom Pain happens and like you wake up in the hospital bed, are you just like, all right, this is a little too on the nose, universe?
Dude, it was the craziest thing. So first off, when they, that very first screenshot that we ever saw the game, and it was, it was of course Big Boss with Ocelot and that little chokehold selfie, right?
Yeah.
And he had that red prosthetic arm. If I had been drinking something, I would have done a spit take. Cause I happened to have a red, at the time my prosthetic arm was red. I'd asked for it in red just because.
Yeah.
And so I was like, have you got to be like, I was like, this is crazy. Like, what are the odds? Right. And then playing that game and that first sequence in the hospital, I've never had a game hit me that hard in the holy crap. This is a little like, I guess uncanny valley isn't the term, but it's the best.
Too real.
Yeah. Like that moment where, Vision's a little blurry and he's kind of looking at this arm and realize like that moment of like, this is where I'm at right now. And this is what's going on. They did such a fantastic job with the kind of the into it, out of it kind of consciousness, and that moment of like that moment of picking your arm up and it kind of examining it. I did that, like that really, I really did that.
Yeah.
That kind of like, oh, okay, here's what I'm working with. So it was really weird. It hit me hard in a good way though. I know, those types of experiences can be positive or negative, right? Depending on what you're playing and what your life experiences are. For me, it was just kind of a, like, I had to take a moment and soak it in. It was pretty wild. And then everything, then of course it gets into Metal Gear territory.
Man, yeah, of course.
Fire, right away. And helicopters. And I was like, okay, we're back into Metal Gear now. But for like 30 seconds, I was like, holy crap, this is wild.
That's, yeah, I can't imagine.
I did not expect to have that type of experience with a Metal Gear game.
My next video game question is, we talked about obviously Series X, PlayStation 5, all that jazz. You got both on pre-order, they both arrive in. What's going on with that? Where are you at?
So I was one of the lucky few that received his Series X in the mail early. So I actually got mine last week, and that had nothing to do with stack up, or there's no reason that I would have been given special consideration. Just a Walmart pre-order happened to come in a week early. So that was awesome. So I've been playing that quite a bit. And I was also lucky enough to get a PS5 pre-order. So looking forward to that coming in.
Excellent.
Yeah, I wanted to have both of them.
For you, what's the standout you want to play on both of them? I know Xbox, you have to look a little bit longer.
Yes, admittedly. I'm on Xbox Series. I've actually been playing, going back into my Game Pass library and stuff. And
nice.
Just getting that sweet, sweet 4K 60. for the PS5, my Demon's Souls remaster and the Miles Morales stuff, like that's where I'm going to be living in my PS5 for a bit. And then I'm hoping that we'll get like a performance patch for Final Fantasy VII remake. Sure. I'd love to see that get brought up to 60.
Oh, yeah. Maybe some textures in the backgrounds, too.
Maybe just a few. Just give me just break me off a little piece.
Dave, thank you so much for being one of our cool friends.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, it's Veterans Day, but where can people keep up with you every day?
Every day, you can find me on twitter.com/RoboKraus. But you know, I want to really kind of point y'all to Stack Up. You can find Stack Up, all the social media stuff. You can search it. Right now, I'm going to take a quick opportunity to plug stackup.donordrive.com. Veterans Day is here. November's our big fundraising push. I just want to make as much noise as I can about that and get folks over there. If you want to learn more about this organization, you want to support this organization, that's the place to do it. And Saturday, November 14th, we are going to be doing a live stream event. It's our big flagship fundraising event. We're gonna have 16 streamers competing against each other in a variety of silly little games that we curated on Steam, and we're gonna be live streaming from 10 a.m to 10 p.m Eastern over on our Twitch channel. That's twitch.tv/stackup.org, and we're gonna have all sorts of neat content. I'm also gonna be building PCs and putting together some console supply crates during all that as well.
Very nice.
So come out and support.
Now, speaking of crates, you wanted to do something else, right, for Kind of Funny?
Yes. Let's not bury the lead too far here, right? I forgot all about this till right now.
No, that's why I'm here. Don't worry about it. You got me to host
the
show.
You're the man, Greg.
Yeah, that's what I do. Come on.
So we are going to put a link. It's going to be bit.ly/KFBFcrates, and I imagine you guys will put that on the screen or link it somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to actually simplify it. We're just going to make it kindoffunny.com/KFBFcrates. And there you go.
Do it. Yes. Easier day. So here's what we're doing. Unfortunately, no London trip this year. Right?
Don't
have any of that stuff going on. But I wanted to I wanted to at least do something to support some veterans in the best friend community. So here's what we're going to be able to do. I've created a custom sign-up form. All you vets and active duty service members, all y'all in the best friend community, U.S. and allied nations. All right. This is not just for our U.S. veterans. Get over to the sign up and you can submit to when we're going to pick two to receive a supply crate from Stack Up. Now, we've been talking a lot about the new console generation being here. And I want to go ahead and be upfront here. Like, I wanted so badly to be able to get some next gen stuff, but it's going to be a little bit of time yet. So these crates are going to be PS4 or Xbox One, your choice. You'll kind of identify your preference in the form. But whoever wins this, you know, we're going to get you out of console games. We're going to kit you out. You're going to have everything you could want in there. And we want two best friend veterans to get these crates. So go over and sign up. That form is going to be open and accepting responses until the 18th of November. That's next Wednesday. And then a week after that, Wednesday the 25th, is when I'm going to be reaching out to winners no later than that date. So go on, get signed up. Please, please, please don't forget to send some photos. It's all in the sign up form, but you got to get us a couple photos. We need to see you in uniform from your time in service or something. Get that stuff signed up, get yourself plugged in, and hopefully you win. We can get a couple crates out there and support some of you best friend veterans out there.
Thank you for doing that, Dave. That's awesome.
It is my pleasure, honestly.
Again, you can go there, kindoffunny.com/KFBFcrates, and then yes, stackup.org to find out all about this amazing organization, to support it. Absolutely. Of course, you're doing the fundraising right now for November and Veterans Day. You can donate any month. This YouTube later, you put it up later, whenever you are. You can go
we
over
won't
to
turn you away, I promise. And you can come join us on Discord at discord.gg/stackup.org. And you can come talk to us personally there and see what we got going on and interface with us directly and our awesome community.
Dave, thank you so much for not only taking care of kind of buddy's best friend, veterans around the globe, and, you know, being a, I think, valuable resource in so many different ways, obviously to support the love of gaming, but just to be there for each other. I think, obviously, you know, we talk about accessibility getting so much more traction here. I think so does mental health. And I think, obviously, as you've talked about, having someone to talk to goes so far.
It does, yeah. And hey, just one last reminder, 24/7, 365, Stack Up Discord community. If you are going through something right now, you're going through a challenging season of your life, and you just want to kind of chat with somebody who gets it, come talk to us. Like, we're not going to put you on hold. This is instant. You will come into our community, and you can talk to somebody right away. And that's what we're here for. And we have an incredible team of volunteers that are very, very serious about just being there for anybody who needs it. So don't hesitate.
That's awesome. Stackup.org, everybody. This, of course, has been We Have Cool Friends, Kind of Funny's interview podcast. It goes up each and every week, usually on Tuesdays, I think. But even that, we've been sliding around doing whatever we want with it. It's a regularly
scheduled. Getting slack, Greg. You're getting complacent.
It's not. No, I mean, we're keeping you on your toes, the audience. You know what I mean? What's going to happen? They didn't even know.
Passing the savings on to you.
Exactly. Remember, you can get it patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can ask questions. You can get the show ad-free. You can support Kind of Funny in a number of different ways. You could be a Patreon producer like Mohammed was for this episode. Of course, if you don't want to toss any bucks our way or can't, no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Next week, episode is going to be the one and only producer/seducer Nick Scarpino sitting down for a one-on-one with Elise Willems from Funhouse. You won't want to miss that. Dave, once again, thank you so much. Happy Veterans Day. Happy console launch week. You're fantastic.
Happy console launch week for everybody, man. Exactly. Thank you so much, dude. It is an honor to be able to come on the show with you guys.
Anytime. You know that. We got your back.
I'll hold you to it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.